Well, welcome back, everyone. I'm so grateful to be able to offer this in person. You remember for a couple of years, we just were doing stuff virtually, which is not bad, but it's not the same as being in person. It's also not the same as having food with others and fellowship. And I'm grateful that many of us will be able to be off-site a week from this coming weekend. And just pray, even if you're not able to be there, for those who will be going, and those of us on the weekend away will be praying for all of you, and we'll record the sessions. Yes?
Are we meeting on Thursday?
Not next Thursday, right? It's so, and I think we meet, you probably have some logistical stuff later, last week, you had the privilege of hearing Father Joe. He's the chaplain at Lansing Catholic, and as someone who came to the priesthood rather late in life, it is so good to have fraternity with these young, faithful priests. Father Jim Rolfe, who's the pastor at Immaculate Heart of Mary, was a part of my priest fraternity for probably 5 years or so, and just had an opportunity to get to know his heart for Jesus and for you and for the people of God. And he was ordained in 2014, and he was chaplain at Powers Catholic High School and is on the board at Lansing Catholic. So he's got a great, I'm glad to have him back in, or to have him in Lansing, collaborating with us for the ministry. Will you please join me in thanking Father Jim Rolfe and welcoming him tonight?
Thank you, Father Steve. So I usually tell people that I had a full head of hair when I was in a high school for 5 years, and this is what happened to me. So here we are now. But before we dive in, we'll start with a quick prayer. And so we pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, we do thank you so much for this opportunity, not just for the food, not just for the fellowship, but we thank you especially that you are here with us, that you desire to encounter us exactly where we are and to fill us with a greater outpouring of your Spirit. And so we ask for open hearts to receive your love tonight. We ask for open minds to better understand your truth as we surrender this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So I'm very used to working with high schoolers, and now I'm working with grade school students as well, and so I love asking questions. When you ask questions in a grade school, every kid raises their hand, regardless of whether or not they have an actual answer or not. When you ask a group of adults, everyone usually knows the right answer, but no one will raise their hand. But I haven't been here for the last 2 weeks, so I was hoping that I could get some information from all of you. What was week one like? I just need like one or two points. What was week one like? What did you learn about God the Father? And no hands go. There you go. Yes.
That he's always been love.
He's always been love. Amen. So God the Father has always been love. Perfect. And then week two, we heard Father Joe. And Father Joe is actually not that much younger than me, but looks a lot younger than me, right? And so what did we learn last week with we learned about Jesus. Perfect. Yeah. That we cannot be happy apart from God. I actually really like that. We'll get into that a little bit tonight as well. And so tonight, we, as good Catholics, we pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the
Holy Spirit.
Perfect. You guys know what we're talking about tonight now. So we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit tonight. And again, to get this started, I think it's good to kind of get our creative juices flowing. So just to ask, if you could meet any individual from all of human history, who would it be and why? If you could meet any individual from all of human history, who would it be and why? We've got one Jesus. Why? Oh, Padre Pio. That'd be a good one, too.
The prodigal son.
That's a good one. I haven't heard that one before. Abraham Lincoln? Mary. Actually, that's a good one, too.
Mary Magdalene.
Mary Magdalene. That would be a good one. Your grandma? Oh, that'd be very cool. Right? So ideally in heaven, we're going to meet all of them, right? But I would agree that I think Jesus would be potentially the greatest historical figure of all time, and especially if you just got time to pick his brain. And so as sons and daughters of God, we do have like this innate desire to be with him because we can't be happy apart from him. We are made for union with him, that's what he wants, is to actually abide with us. And so we know that in the incarnation, Jesus broke into time and space and was actually walking side by side, step by step, shoulder to shoulder with his disciples. And so not only did they have the chance to meet him, but they had the chance to actually live with him, to learn from him, to abide with him. And ultimately, it was Jesus who shows us the Father. The God who is love now and always is revealed to us in the person of Jesus. And so it's actually Philip says to the Lord, "Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father?" Because ultimately, if we have Jesus, he is our connection to the Father as he adopts us into his own sonship, his sons and daughters of God, and that we are actually able to abide in him. Isn't that amazing? And yet, Jesus says, "It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." And if I was one of the disciples, I'd be like, "Wait a second, Jesus. So you broke into time and space. You walked with us. You've showed us the Father. You've revealed his love. You're teaching us. And now you're saying it's better that you go?" I'd be like, "Jesus must have taken some crazy pills or something. Because how can this possibly be true?" And ultimately, the only answer can be, if Jesus is saying it's better that I go, what could possibly be better than walking side by side, shoulder to shoulder with God incarnate in the person of Jesus? And the only answer is the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus wants something so deep for us that he wasn't content to walk side by side, shoulder to shoulder, but that his desire for us is actually to be one with him. That Jesus wants so badly to be one with us that he sends the Spirit of love, the Holy Spirit, to abide in our hearts, to actually immerse us in his love, to permeate every aspect of our being. And so Jesus ascended. He left so that he could send us the Holy Spirit. And when we look at Scripture, what we'd see is that this happened in a very powerful way at Pentecost. And so I'm assuming most of us understand this story. So the disciples, after Jesus had died and risen and then ascended into heaven, they were waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And so which room were they waiting in? Perfect. Absolutely. Waiting in the upper room. And I think that it's important for us to recognize that they were vigilant, that they were actually looking. This wasn't like an accident. Like they were just like walking around and then all of a sudden they were like, "What's happening?" But they were very authentically pursuing and seeking after this promise that Jesus was willing to say, "It's better for you if I go, because if I go, I can send you the Holy Spirit." And so the disciples are waiting, they're vigilant, they're attentive, and Pentecost happens. And this is in Acts chapter 2. It says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." And so again, Jesus wasn't content to just walk side by side with, but that he actually wanted to fill us with the Holy Spirit so that we could be enabled to do what we could not do before. And we see this so clearly in the disciples who, while they were vigilant and while they were praying, were filled with fear at what would happen if they actually went out. What would happen if we actually proclaimed the truth? When Jesus did that, he got crucified. I don't want that to happen to me, so let's hide in this upper room and we'll see what God is all about as he sends the Holy Spirit. But after they are filled with the Holy Spirit and enabled to do what they could not do before, they're able to actually go out and proclaim the truth. And ultimately, Peter gives like the greatest homily ever. He didn't give the greatest second homily ever, though. That still belongs to Father Steve, right? So Jesus gave the greatest homily ever, and it's thousands and thousands of people that are converted. How? Not because Peter suddenly was like, oh, guys, I figured it out. Perfect preaching form. I've got it all down. I said just the right words at the right time. No. That all happened because he was filled with the Holy Spirit, who enabled him to do what he could not do before. And this is what Peter shows us. That this is the same Peter who was walking on water, and I like water skiing, so I'm just going to say I've done it too. I'm pretty great. But Peter, walking on water, all he has to do is keep his eyes fixed on Jesus, and what does he do? Takes his eyes off of Jesus, and he begins to sink. He doubts. That Peter, who Jesus says, you are rock, and on this rock I will build my church, and then he goes and denies Jesus. That what Peter had before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was this image of who he was called to be. And this was his level of ability to achieve that. But after Pentecost, after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Peter's preaching in boldness. He's bringing about healing. That at the end of his life, and this is not in scripture, but this is a tradition that's been passed down, is Peter was preaching in Rome and this great persecution erupted. So he went to leave Rome to spare his own life. And on the way out of Rome, he encounters Jesus carrying his cross back into Rome. And he says to Jesus, Quo Vadis, where are you going? And Jesus says, I go to Rome to be crucified again. In the garden, Peter abandoned Jesus. He wasn't willing to embrace the cross, and so he fled. But after he asks, Quo Vadis, where are you going? I'm going to Rome to be crucified again. Peter turns around and goes to Rome and ends up being crucified. Not because he had what it took all of a sudden, but because he was filled with the Holy Spirit, who enabled him to do what he could not do before. I don't know if you've experienced anything like this, but I know that I have, where I see God's calling in my life, and it's up here. And then I look at myself, and we put Peter here. I'm gonna put myself down here. And I see that there's this huge gap between who I am and who I know that I'm called to be. And the difference between the disciples before Pentecost and after Pentecost wasn't that they took a preaching class. It wasn't that they suddenly had this influx of cash and they could do all these great things when they could build new buildings. The only difference was they were filled with the Holy Spirit, who enabled them to do what they could not do before. I think it's so important for us to recognize that Jesus' calling is up here, not because he wants to see us fail, not because he wants to see us struggle, not because he wants to see us strive to do this on our own, but that he wants us to recognize that on my own, I can't do this. On my own, I'm not strong enough or wise enough. I don't have what it takes. And that's such a good recognition. Not because we belittle ourselves and say, well, I'm nothing, but we recognize that in my weakness, he is my strength. That we begin to recognize that when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, he will enable me to do what I could not do before. And the amazing thing that is that receiving this isn't hard. There's not going to be a test at the end of my talk. I know I talked a lot about high schoolers, but it won't be a test. And if you get an A, you get the Holy Spirit. And if you fail, good luck next week. The beauty is that just like the apostles, if I'm attentive, if I'm vigilant, if I'm seeking, I will receive. I will. That there's not these crazy conditions put on God's love for us, but that God is always love, that Jesus is the fulfillment of all of our desire, and he wants to fill us with the Spirit of his love, the Holy Spirit, so that we can be enabled to do what we could never do on our own. And this happens for each of us with a baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so the disciples experienced this sudden influx of ability, not because, again, they fundamentally changed in their mind, not because they suddenly grew new muscles, but simply because they received the Holy Spirit and their lives were changed forever. They knew what they were called to and recognized, I can't do this on my own, but when filled with the Holy Spirit, received the ability to do what they could not do on their own. And so baptism in the Holy Spirit is like this New Testament, almost like description, something describing what happened at Pentecost. And as we look at it today, we would say that if you've been baptized, you have received the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. If you've been confirmed, you've received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? Are all of us living this fully? Probably not. Probably not. And that's okay. Because what I would relate it to this, that at our baptism and at our confirmation, well, first, does anyone like chocolate milk? I love chocolate milk, so I pretend to work out still, and chocolate milk's like the best for building good muscle. So, love chocolate milk, but if you make chocolate milk, like with the Nesquik stuff, or like the syrup, what can happen is you pour chocolate syrup into the milk, and what happens? It all sinks to the bottom. Is that chocolate milk? Technically, yes, but not really. What do you have to do? Stir it up. And then all of a sudden, it's all mixed together and it's become one. Something similar can happen with us in the Holy Spirit, that at your baptism, when it was saying the Holy Spirit's chocolate syrup, I've never made that connection before. But so at your baptism and at your confirmation, you were filled with the chocolate syrup of the Holy Spirit. I'm just realizing this is being recorded, too. This is going to be an adventure. So, at your baptism and at your confirmation, you were filled with the chocolate syrup of the Holy Spirit. What do you need to do, though, is often that's lying dormant in your heart. And what we have to do is stir it up. St. Paul actually says to Timothy, fan into flame the gift of the Holy Spirit that was given to you through the imposition of my hands. And that's us. That we've received baptism, we've received confirmation, but we need to fan into flame this amazing gift of the Holy Spirit that was given to us in baptism. And the amazing thing about this, too, is that this can happen over and over and over again. It's almost like adding more and more and more of the Holy Spirit, because with God, he's never like, okay, you've had enough. I've just run out of gifts to give you. I don't think I really want to help you anymore. But with God, there is always more, that he always wants to provide for us. He always wants to give for us. And so what the Holy Spirit wants to give is he wants to give his charisms so that we can actually go and be his love in the world. And so those charisms are healing, miracles, visions, discernment of spirits, the gifts of praying in tongues, prophecy in tongues, interpretation of tongues. That he also wants to fill us with the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. First, does anyone want any of those things? Absolutely. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what God wants to fill us with, but we need to say, yes, we need to fan it into flame. And here's, I guess, kind of my own experience of this was the first time I really felt an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a baptism in the Holy Spirit, the stirring up of the Holy Spirit in my heart was actually when I was in seventh grade. And so I grew up Catholic in a good Catholic family. They always took me to church. And I knew if I sing at church, I get a donut. So I would always sing at church so I could get a donut. But that was kind of like my faith life. Was that I knew I was supposed to go to church and I knew I was supposed to participate, and I got rewarded for doing that, but it was very much because my parents said, like, this is what you're going to do. And as a seventh grader, I can't do anything else anyway. And it was actually at a youth camp where there is praise and worship and there is prayer ministry and there are talks. And all of a sudden, something kind of like clicked. And there is a stage up front. And what I remember is we had just heard her talk and we were doing some like praise and worship. And I came up to the front in front of the stage. And I wasn't the only one. There were other kids that came up in front of the stage. And all of a sudden, I don't even know exactly why, but I was crying. And I was crying and I was like, what's happening? And I felt a joy like I had never felt before. I felt a love that I had never felt before. It wasn't just something in my head where I was like, okay, I can answer this question on a test. God loves me. I can answer this question on a test. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. But I experienced it in a way that I really believe changed my life forever. And what's amazing is that there were a lot of kids that were up front that were having an experience of the Holy Spirit. But as I looked around, I was the only one crying. And so I got all self-conscious and I was like, I'm tougher than this. I'm not going to be the one who cries. And then in talking with a small group afterwards, it was amazing to hear how every single individual felt this amazing outpouring of God's love. And it was manifest in a different way for each individual person. Because God doesn't love you in a generic way. God doesn't love you in a way that he's saying you need to conform to this other way of doing things. But that God loves you utterly and completely uniquely. Because you are utterly and completely unique. And the way that the church fathers have talked about this is they say that the Holy Spirit can be compared to rain that falls down from heaven, which while in itself is fundamentally the same, gives to everything what it needs. And so if rain falls on an apple tree, what will that apple tree produce? Perfect. You guys are like A-plus right now. And if rain falls on an orange tree, it will produce? Yes, perfect. I was actually hoping someone would do this, though, right? But if it did produce apples, you'd be like, what's happening? This is a really messed up orange tree. And we would say, this is actually a bad thing to be happening right now. But what can often happen with us in the Holy Spirit is somebody up at the stage is like, oh, Father Jim is crying. I better start crying. And it ends up being like an apple tree trying to bear oranges. Because we're not just receiving the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to manifest exactly as he desires, but we're saying, I need to conform to some mold. I need to be more like this other person. I want to have this type of an experience. And it's when we try to grab onto the wheel like that, that things start to kind of fall apart. And so as we go forward, not just today, but especially as you go forward with your offsite, to have this openness to the Holy Spirit, that it may look like I'm crying, it may look like nothing's happening, but there's this feeling deep in my heart that I don't even know that I can explain to anybody. That there was another time that, there's always more. And so this was actually as a priest, I was at this other conference praying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the way that I felt like the Holy Spirit was manifesting to me was, it was almost like I was holding these little embers in my hands. Almost like they were burning. And even as I like would pray for people, they're like, your hands would feel like they're on fire. And I was like, I don't know what's happening, but this is kind of cool. And it wasn't, Jesus, I want to control this, so if you send me the Holy Spirit, make me levitate. That would be cool though, so maybe I'll have to try that sometime. But it's very much just me saying, Jesus, I'm open to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit because you said it's better that I go so that I can send the Holy Spirit. So Lord, I'm open. I want to receive in whatever way is right for me. And that may look like any of those charisms, preaching, prophecy, evangelization, teaching, words of knowledge, healing, miracles, vision, discernment of spirits, prophecy, tongues. It may just look like those fruits of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But what we want to do is simply be open to receive. Not grasping after, not fighting over, not comparing to others, but simply receiving, Lord, what do you have for me? As the Holy Spirit fills me, as I'm permeated with the Spirit, immersed in the Holy Spirit, how do you want to give me your gifts and bear abundant fruit in me? And ultimately, that's what changes our life. Not us saying, I need to be here, so I better try harder. But me saying, Jesus, I'm right here, and I know that you have more. So I want to be open to receive from the fullness of what you have for me. And when we receive from God's fullness, it's not just these really cool experiences when we're at a big conference or when we're at the Resurrection Life Course. But what ends up happening is it starts to change like the fundamental daily operations of our life. So when I was a senior in high school, I told Father Steve I won't go past 2 hours. So I'll keep this short. Focus. So when I was a senior in high school, I had never really thought about the priesthood before, but I was filled with the Holy Spirit, was open to the Holy Spirit, and it was actually at Mass. I was just sitting, participating, and the best way I can describe it is a thought that wasn't my own, like, popped into my head. And it was, Jim, you need to think about being a priest. And I was like, oh, crap. This is bad. And throughout the course of the next couple of months, had to wrestle with that and discern that. But because I had been open to the Holy Spirit, there was this moment where God directed my life. Where the Holy Spirit spoke to me and in speaking gave me a path to follow. That when we're open to the Holy Spirit and when we're moving in the Holy Spirit, he will guide and direct us through life. Amen? Okay, and then the next thing he does is he equips us to tell others the good news of salvation. And so this is one of my favorite stories. Again, I can't tell the whole thing, but this is going to be the Cliff Notes version. So when I was in my first year, I was the chaplain at Powers Catholic High School, and I was just walking through the hallway, and saw this girl, and all of a sudden, like, it was just this thought, again, thought that wasn't my own, popped into my head, I need to talk to that girl. And so pulled her out of class, and I had kind of like this system for getting information out of kids. And so I'm just like, how's your family? How's your friends? How's school going? How are sports going? And then asked, how's faith going? She just started crying, and she was like, it's not good. This stuff's all going on. And as we started praying, I had this image in my head, and I knew that this wasn't from me because I was like, this is just crazy. Shared this image with her, and she said, how did you know that? And I was able to say, I didn't know it, but God does know you. He knows the depths of your heart, and he loves you in that place. And if I thought she was crying before, I was wrong, because then it was like the snot and everything started flowing, because God had been able to tell me, show me this aspect of her life that was this deep wound. And as she heard, God's love for her in that place completely changed her life. That she had really been struggling as a senior in high school, she's now discerning religious life. Isn't that amazing, though, that when we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, God doesn't just want to guide and direct me, but he actually wants to give me insight into the lives around me so that I can influence other people's lives for the better. That what he also does is, and we talked about the charisms, right, that one of them is healing, and healing is a gift that I never thought, like, one of the big things for me was, well, I'm not worthy of that. This, like, God, even if your calling is up here, my worthiness level is like, is there a basement, Father Steve? Is there? My worthiness level is down there. And so I always saw myself as like, I don't deserve this. And at some point, God in prayer was like, I know, but I want to give this to you as a gift. This isn't something we merit, something we earn, but this is just this free gift from God because he loves us and wants to love the world through us. So, again, at the high school, was talking to this girl, and she had just had her, it's called your cartilage. I know that because I was a high school chaplain. It's your cartilage. So she got this part of her ear pierced, and whoever had done it did not do a great job. And so it was all swollen. But again, my understanding is if you take it out, though, it's going to, like, heal, and then you just have to pierce it again. Looking for some girls to just nod. Perfect. Okay. Yeah. So you can't take it out, but if she left it in, it was like getting infected and it was all swollen. And so she came and we were talking about something completely different. But then she was like, Father Jim, my ear hurts so bad. Like, is there anything you can do? And I was like, well, we can pray. And she's like, Father Jim, I don't think God cares about my pierced ear. And in my head, I was like, me neither. But we might as well pray because who knows what's going to happen, right? And so as we start praying, this is no joke either. This stuff really happens. As we started praying, she was like, oh my gosh, it feels like really warm. And I always pray three times with people when I pray like this. And after the third time praying, there was legitimately no swelling at all. And she was like, Father Jim, it doesn't hurt at all. Can you see any swelling? And I was like, no, it looks like it all went away. And she just starts crying because she's like, oh my gosh, God cares enough about my pierced ear that he's willing to heal it. And I think that so often that's us, is we're like, God couldn't possibly care about this part of my life. I need to fix this on my own. Where when we realize the eternal love of God, he wants to pour that love out in the Holy Spirit to actually bring healing to our hearts, our minds, and our bodies, and our souls so that we can be whole. And as we're healed, we're actually enabled to go out and heal others. Again, not because of our power, but like the apostles, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're empowered to do what we could not do before. The next thing the Holy Spirit does is he removes obstacles that stop us from entering into a complete union with him. And so, well, actually, this could be, I don't even have my phone, actually. So at this point, I have on my phone, it's just like grayscale. There's no internet. I think all the cool priests at this point have dumb phones, and we're like, this just isn't worth it. And honestly, there's great freedom in saying to the world, I don't need the pleasures you have to offer, because I have something that's even better. I have the freedom and the joy and the life and the love and the peace of the Holy Spirit. And there's something there where, again, my ability level to do stuff like this is like basement level. But when the Holy Spirit fills us, it's like, no, I don't need those types of pleasures because I am filled with something that's infinitely better. That the Holy Spirit consoles us in our suffering, that the Holy Spirit gives us strength as we carry the crosses that we're entrusted with in this life, that the Holy Spirit gives us hope and joy. I should share this story too. I have a bunch of stories, but I can't share them all, or I really will go for like 2 hours. So I had the great opportunity to play a little bit of college baseball while I was also in seminary, and I was a little bit embarrassed about the seminary part, so I just didn't tell any of my teammates, and they didn't know. So I was playing on this baseball team, and then eventually, though, we wanted to start having, like, athletes' masses, and so I was going to have to tell these guys, like, hey, just so you know, I'm going to be a priest someday. And then I knew what was going to happen is they would all hate me, and they would look down on me, and I would be judged, and it would be so sad. At least that's what I thought, right? So invite this group of guys to this athletes' mass, and one of them, just like his jaw kind of dropped, and he said, I always knew there was something different about you. And I was like, oh no, here it comes. Like, this is the moment where I get like cast out into the outer darkness where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. And so I probably looked like petrified. And he said, no, 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 no. Like, I always knew there was something different about you. You were always so joy-filled. And I never knew what it was, but now I know it's the Holy Spirit in you. I was like, oh my gosh, I should have talked to you guys earlier. Because when we are actually living filled with the Holy Spirit, it radiates that there's something different that's so attractive to people if only I'm willing to say yes. Because ultimately, God will not force himself on you. That God will not force the Holy Spirit into your heart, but he waits for your yes. That the apostles were vigilant, they were waiting, they were praying, they were ready. And when God sent the Holy Spirit, they said yes and received. My goal is that even tonight we would feel some of that outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but especially as you go on your offsite next week, that you would just be filled with the Holy Spirit in a life-changing, life-transforming way. Amen? So the last thing we'll do is just talk about these three barriers that can really inhibit us from receiving the Holy Spirit. So the first, we'll go back to this image, right, of rain pouring down from heaven, giving to each thing what it needs. And so the first barrier is unrepented sin. So I can say this with great confidence. You're all sinners. And I'm a sinner, right? That none of us are sinless. The problem is when we don't let the mercy of God take that sin, crucify it at the cross, and wash away that wound and that shame that keeps us bound. Because what often happens with unrepented sin is it is like the Holy Spirit is pouring down like rain, and I grab my umbrella and I put it up, and I'm like, this is weird. I don't feel the rain at all. Not because the rain isn't falling, but because I've put up a barrier between myself and God that inhibits me from receiving the fullness of his love. So one of the things that I'm going to encourage you to do, and Lansing is actually great, so I just moved to Lansing this past summer. We have a ton of confession times available. So my encouragement is, take a look at where is my heart at, knowing that none of us is perfect, and that's okay. But that as imperfect, sinful human beings, Jesus wants to love us in that place by washing away those sins through the sacrament of confession. So if at all possible, before your offsite next week, I'd really encourage you, try to get to confession to take down that umbrella so that you can receive the fullness of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Okay. The second thing is just unforgiveness, that in the Our Father, we pray, forgive us our trespasses as
we forgive those who trespass against us.
It's really inconvenient, right? Really inconvenient, because I think that I should be forgiven while still being able to hold on to grudges. That would make things way easier. But one of the blocks to the Holy Spirit, one of the blocks to deeper intimacy with God, is often unforgiveness. And so again, this will happen on the offsite, so you don't have to like fix all of this. The goal is actually to do some like soul searching, some heart searching, and to see where is there unforgiveness in my heart, and how does God want to bring greater freedom there by giving me the grace of forgiveness? Amen? The last block is simply unbelief, that Jesus healed lots and lots and lots of people. Where Jesus struggled the most to bring healing was where there was a lack of faith. And even then, and I should have written down the scripture verse, but it says, and Jesus healed few because of their lack of faith. Jesus still healed people. He still poured out the Holy Spirit, but they weren't able to receive it because of a lack of faith. Now, there are certain things that we can get better at on our own, that if I just practice, I can get better at patience, right? But faith, hope, and charity, faith, hope, and love, are called theological virtues, and they're pure gifts from God. That I can't just squint my eyes harder and I get more faith. But when I ask for faith from God, who is eternal love, who desires to give me the fullness of himself in the Holy Spirit, he will give me more faith. And so as you prep for the offsite next week, or even just as you go through this upcoming week, do some kind of soul searching. In what ways do I need to go to confession? Not so God can rub my face in my sin, but so that he, in his love and mercy, can wash me clean. Where in my heart is there unforgiveness? And how does God want to free me from that so that I don't have to live under the weight of that grudge anymore? And then finally, where is there unbelief or doubt or discouragement or despair in my heart? And how does God want to replace all of that with a huge outpouring of faith? I think what's going to be best to do is just to close with a prayer now and just open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit. There may still be areas where I feel like I'm holding up an umbrella and I don't know if I'm ready yet, and that's okay, because God's never going to give up on you. This is not the one chance you'll ever have, but it is a chance to say yes, to allow the Holy Spirit in so that as I look at who God's calling me to be and as I look at where I am today, I don't have to put the burden on myself to bridge that gap, but I can say, God, I just want to be filled with your Holy Spirit today so that I can be enabled to do what I could not do on my own. Amen? And so if you want, you can put your hands on a shoulder of somebody next to you to pray for them in a special way. Or if you want, you can just open up your hands like you're about to receive a gift from God, because you are. I'm just going to say this prayer for us. We pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we ask you to forgive us our sins. We ask you to reveal to us the wounds and hurts of the past that have caused us to sin against you and our neighbor so many times over. Not so that you can rub our face in them, but so that you can wash them away and bring us healing. We ask you to give us the freedom and strength to forgive those who have wronged us so that we might be free to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we know that you have the words of everlasting life. You are the ultimate fulfillment of our hearts. You are the life-giving relationship that we were created for. We offer ourselves to you now, body, mind, and spirit. Jesus, we surrender to you. Everything that we have, everything that we are is yours. Do with us as you will. Let us know your love, Lord Jesus. Reveal to us the love God the Father has for us, his beloved sons and daughters. Help us to put away our old ways and awaken to new life in you, a life of peace, joy, and freedom. Here and now, we open ourselves to your love and ask you to heal us of our brokenness. We ask you to pour out upon us your Holy Spirit so that we can live the life of love and freedom that you have gained for us through the power of your resurrection. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us, renew us, empower us, and enrich us with your powerful presence. Pour out into us whatever gifts you wish for us to have for the building up of your kingdom. Open our hearts and let the fruits of your Spirit grow in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We open ourselves in this moment to the power of your Holy Spirit. Move and breathe in us. Come, Holy Spirit. And may Almighty God bless you now and always, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And thanks for having me tonight.
That was fantastic, Father Jim. Loved every minute. Can you make your way to the tables where we've got chocolate milk? Well, it's not chocolate milk, it's chocolate. Got some chocolate for you, and then get into your groups, and we will talk to you after you've had your groups together and let you know more about the offsite. Thank you, everybody. Thanks, Father Jim.